We're taking a break from fresh episodes for a bit, but instead of leaving you hanging, I'll be republishing the episodes that I think deserve a second listen. I know, we love us some fresh content, but smart ideas are worth hearing twice, because sometimes hearing something again is exactly what will move us from passive listener to actually adding the strategy to our toolkit. So put those earbuds in, pull that pen out, let's make this re-listen actionable. A client once put together a data collection email for subscribers' birthdays. It started out fun. There was a light tone, a bit of humor. But once you clicked out of the email and into the survey, it was daunting. It was what Megan identified. It was data collection. It wasn't fun. It was friction. It was making customers work. Welcome to Email Swipes, where we peek behind the scenes at the emails that catch your attention and earn their place in your swipe file. Every other week, we'll talk to an email expert about an experiment they ran, and in the following episode, we'll dive into the strategies and methods used in the email so you can inform and inspire your own email work. I'm Mickey Elbaz, the copywriter behind winning emails for 8- and 9-figure SaaS and e-commerce brands like Shopify, Four Sigmatic, and Sprout Social. And I know that hearing the background stories to these emails will help you turn pie-in-the-sky insights into plug-in play actions. Ready to make inspiration tactical? Let's go. First, a quick recap of the email we discussed last week that we'll be digging into today. Tell us something about yourself and we'll give you something to be excited about. Pro tip, if your inbox isn't doing this email justice, view it in your browser. Start quiz. What's your job like? Product focused? Development focused? We're clicking product focused. How does email fit into your product? Transactional emails? Marketing emails? Both. We'll click both. People think your job is mostly meetings. So many meetings. Spreadsheets on spreadsheets. Data diving. Let's click meetings. When is your product getting released? Next quarter, for sure. This year, if I'm lucky. Does a bug fix count? Let's do bug fix. Last question. What's your goal for 2024? Speak at /attend email camp. Create an email design system. Higher engagement rates. Let's hit higher engagement rates. We've learned so much about you. It's almost like we cracked the code. Get it? Anyway, let's get to the good news. The wait is over. I am not going to pretend that I know how to code emails, but it was so fun to get a peek into the other side of the coin. And there's still so much stuff that I do feel confident digging into here because it all ties back to the strategy. Like I said, it's the other side of the coin. I love the way the Cinch team thinks about April Fools. Sometimes it can be such a stress to come up with something funny that's not punny or overdone or inane. Their idea of doing something big that we don't usually have time for leans into the fun of April Fools, but without the pressure. Plus, it's so smart to block these big things into your content calendar because otherwise, they just never happen. So takeaway number one, block the big things into your calendar. And if you're not a funny brand, can you still lean into the funny times in our calendar or the funny situations and scenarios with something light but not funny? I loved how Megan thought through all the way to the very dead end of the customer experience. I mean, clearly, with all the variations that she had to make for all the different email clients, she was putting herself in her subscriber shoes, but she didn't stop there. People love taking quizzes, but they hate giving data. Even, by the way, if they like the results of giving data, like a customized experience or personalized content. It's just another instance of the psychological say-do-get principle. But anyway, like I mentioned in the main episode, this email was so successful because it was fun. Yes, it was data collection so that they can understand their audience, but it just didn't feel like it. It felt like a BuzzFeed quiz. A client once put together a data collection email for subscribers' birthdays. It started out fun. There was a light tone, a bit of humor. But once you clicked out of the email and into the survey, it was daunting. It was what Megan identified. It was data collection. It wasn't fun. It was friction. It was making customers work. And yes, a lot of brands thread fun into the survey too, so it does feel less like work. But come on, how awesome is it when it's actually in the email itself? By the way, if you didn't actually read the email yourself, if you just listened to me read it to you and you didn't check out the link in the show notes and click through and do it yourself, go do it now. It's really fun. So takeaway number two, think through all the way to the customer experience. If you start fun, don't drop the fun once you get to the piece where you need to collect something or ask for something or introduce friction. Follow it through all the way to the end of the experience. And this applies when things are not fun, but whatever it is that you're doing and creating for your customer, follow through keep things consistent all the way to the end. How great was it that they added the call for speakers for their email event? Yes, the content pieces that the quiz led to was the real value piece, the quote-unquote reward for giving their data, engaging with the email. But it's so special that they threw in this extra bonus, something exclusive to subscribers, exclusive to those who engage with the email. Loving these episodes? You'll love my email playbooks. They're chock full of inspirational swipes, and my comments are even color-coded, so you get a super clear breakdown of what works and what doesn't work about each email. Plus, I break down all the nitty-gritties of each flow, so you know exactly what to include and why, without ever giving you cookie-cutter templates that hem in your creativity. In fact, Paul Melrose, who bought the playbook bundle, rated them a 10 and said, "Since using Nikki's playbooks, starting work on an e-commerce email sequence without them would feel like jumping out of a plane without a parachute." And these are not copy and paste solutions either. They work because Nikki gets you to understand the essential concepts at play so you can solve your own or your client's email problems. Big love and appreciation for what she's given us. Check out all 12 email playbooks on offer at nikkielbaz.com/email-playbooks and stop jumping out of a plane without a parachute. Often we will see subject lines like exclusive offer, and then what do you know, the so-called exclusive offer is right there on the hero of the homepage and in the banner and preloaded into your cart, even without signing it. But real exclusivity is such a great selling point. You could build an entire loyalty program on exclusivity. So takeaway number 3, where can you find exclusivity and thread it into your emails? Even if you don't have an official exclusive loyalty program, you can still build loyalty by sending one-off exclusive bonuses. How cool is it that Megan has mentors that she can really lean on? I first found Megan in the Email Geek Slack group, which is a super helpful, positive community, Megan being one of the foremost voices answering people's questions and sharing great perspectives. So it's no surprise that all her generosity engenders reciprocity, and she's reaping the benefits with solid mentors who help her in a pinch. I'm not sure if takeaway number 4 is find great mentors or be a great mentor yourself so that you find great mentors. Maybe both. I am a big believer in subscribing to lots of emails, lots of types of emails, good emails, bad emails, but I do also hear Megan's perspective of taking inspiration from good emails only. Like I mentioned in the main episode, for the devs out there, culling inspiration takes a different route. And I'm also starting to appreciate that even for us copywriters or strategists, our attention is divided. Our time is limited. And sometimes it does make sense to focus on what's actively inspiring you, not just pull inspiration from anywhere and anything. So takeaway number 5, lean into how you're working at the moment. Sometimes you need inspiration from everywhere. And you should subscribe to a bunch of emails, read a bunch of things, do a bunch of things, hang out with a bunch of different types of people. Sometimes you need to hone in on something very specific and limit things and give yourself more boundaries and tighter fences. The cool thing is that it doesn't have to be one or the other, and that's your strategy for the rest of your life. Things are fluid, things are flexible, and sometimes different things work. This also means that you don't have to panic if suddenly your go-to method for inspiration and creativity isn't working anymore. You'll find something else that does work, and maybe you'll get back to it later in life. Maybe not, maybe yes. But basically, your creative experience, your creative method, your creative process will change, can change, should change. And that's just the way life is. Thanks for geeking out with me about that email story. If you enjoyed either of these episodes, you'll probably enjoy getting my emails. Plus, you'll never miss another episode. Sign up at nikkielbaz.com/subscribe. And yes, that link is in the show notes.